You are listening to the Power of Why podcast.
This episode is brought to you in collaboration with Invest Ottawa, the lead economic development agency for knowledge-based industries in Canada's capital, and with critical support from BDC Capital's Thrive Venture Fund, and also the title sponsor of International Women's Week. We teamed up to produce this special series to celebrate women leading in Ottawa. In support of its women founders and owner strategy, Invest Ottawa offers programs and services that enable and accelerate the growth and success of women entrepreneurs from every walk of life. Visit www.investottawa.ca/women to learn more. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Why. My name is Naomi Hailey, and today I am here with Lisa Appiah. Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. Thank you for having me.
I'm beyond excited that you're a featured leader for this year's International Women's Week alongside Invest Ottawa. And so for the audience, let me tell you a little bit about Lisa before we get started. So Lisa Appiah is a certified career and resume strategist and the founder of We Apply Canada. She has over 10 years of experience in the public service, and now she makes way for organizations to up-level their career and leadership development programming. Lisa also specializes in helping introverts and new leaders increase their visibility and leadership presence at work while staying true to themselves, which is key, right? Lisa does this through coaching programs and corporate workshop facilitation. To date, Lisa has helped hundreds of people land interviews and secure employment with Fortune 500 companies across government and in the nonprofit space. She's earned her master's in public administration from Carleton University and a bachelor's in public administration and sociology from the University of Ottawa. And in 2022, Lisa was recognized as Canada's top 100 Black woman to watch. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It's kind of weird. I'm like, who are you talking about? But yeah, I guess it is me.
There are so many guests where when I go through their bio and, like, you know, add a little bit of something, they're always like, wow, that person is so impressive. I'm like, yeah. So thanks for being here, Lisa. I'm really excited to chat with you. I'd love to get started with talking about your origin story, kind of how you grew up, where you grew up, and how that's really informed the person you are today.
Yeah, I'm from Montreal, Canada. So I was born in Montreal. My family's background is from Ghana. My parents immigrated to Canada back in the 80s, and they've been here ever since. So yeah, we grew up in Montreal. And part of the reason, well, it is the reason why I speak French. I also speak Chi, which is a language we speak in Ghana. It has definitely impacted a lot of who I am today, how I do things, how I perceive the world. And yeah, that's basically my story of where I'm from.
Beautiful. I also come from parents who came to this country in the 80s, 90s. And I find it such a, in terms of identity, in terms of how you see the world, I always felt in the middle, in between, you know, mm-hmm. right? You know, because you grow up here, you're introduced to Western culture, and then at home, you like live in a different world completely, right? And so I'm curious to learn, growing up, what were the values that really shaped your approach to life, how you saw the world, and how has that kind of played into the person you are today?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've always, like, I understand what you mean of being in between. You know, I'm Ghanaian, but I'm also Canadian and also Quebecer, which is a, like another identity completely, being born in Montreal. So I remember I did a sociology course when I was back in university, and it's about like living between the hyphen, that's what it's called. And they were talking about exactly this, people who have this kind of dual identity being Jamaican Canadian, or, you know, and it was the first time where I was like, oh, I'm not the only one, you know, like there are other people who feel this way as well. And I only went to Ghana for the first time in 2010. And then there's that shock as well, because it's like you've always identified as Ghanaian, but now you're in Ghana and they're not seeing you as a Ghanaian. They see you as somebody completely different to them. You're the foreigner. So it's like, okay, where are they going to accept me? But anyways, I can relate to what you said. And the values that all that has brought me is that I'm definitely adaptable. I can adapt to different situations, different types of people. I am able to understand and relate to people a lot better because of these different identities and these different ways of life that I've been exposed to. And also, I think a big one is definitely empathy, because I am able to empathize a lot more with the situations that people are going through, especially in the kind of work that I do, that as much as I'm coaching people through their careers, this is their life. It's not just, you know, a job or trying to get a promotion. A lot of people have a lot hanging on that job, whether it's being able to stay in Canada for their immigration status or being able to buy a house or just feed their family. So I think a lot of my upbringing and how I was raised and the different cultures I've been exposed to have influenced the way I'm able to do my work today.
Yeah, I can imagine the empathy that you have for the people that you're coaching, the people that you're working with. And I think that definitely adds to how you're able to support them, right? And coach them and give them advice to help them along their own career journey. Can you talk a little bit about what led you to start WeApply? Like, what were some of your, what was like the impetus for starting it? And if you could also share, like, was it straightforward? Like, do you have any fears or hesitations or that were also a part of that journey as well?
I have always been kind of the go-to person where people would send me their resume and help them prepare for interviews. Like, I was doing, helping my parents with their resumes as a teenager, you know? So it was always something that I was really good at that I just did very naturally. I've been able to progress in my career quickly as well, because it's something that comes very naturally to me in terms of understanding career development, understanding how to increase my visibility within the workplace to advance. And over time, I realized that there was a gap in the career development space. A lot of the career practitioners that I had ever come in contact with, and even at a high school level, when you're meeting a career counselor, before we even talk about, you know, more advanced in your career, then I never met someone who looked like me. And sadly, even going through career counseling in high school, the advice I received was basically, you know, someone who was trying to underestimate me and give me information that was below my qualifications because of how they perceive me. And I've met a lot of clients who have said the same thing. You know, like, I met a career counselor, they told me I should go to college, that's how I ended up in this situation, although I wanted to go to university. You know, like, I've heard these kinds of stories. So over time, as I was researching the industry, I realized that there's definitely a gap. And being someone who had the background, who had the understanding, and now having built a career where I had been exposed to the HR side of things, I really felt like I can make a difference. I can make a difference in the space, make a difference in other people's lives. And that's how I started. There were definitely fears. I didn't start right away. I actually wanted to start the business when I finished my master's degree, which was in 2014. But at the time, I had this government offer that came my way, and it was like, you know, unstable entrepreneurship or go to stability of the government job. And I chose the government job at that time. So it's only in 2020 that I actually started the business.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And also, there's so many stories and, like, even interviews on this show where people share that, you know, their idea for what they're currently working on was formed years in advance. And it was something that they thought about. It was like a pain point that not only affected them, but also like people that they interacted with on a day to day. So I love that you started with your own family, like your parents, and helping them in their career. And you've also used this to help, you in your own life as well.
Definitely. It's been the strategies and the lessons that I've learned in my career are the most valuable to a lot of the clients that I work with, being able to understand what they're going through, share those stories. And, you know, sometimes I think, oh, I should have started the business before, but I wouldn't have had all this career experience that I have now that is basically why I'm able to do the job even better, right? So, you know, everything happens for a reason, and thankful that we're at least where we are now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I also think there is no wasted experience, right? Like,
true.
Those things happened in the way that they did. And I love how you're living in your purpose today and supporting people today. I think that's phenomenal. Yeah. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about some of the mindset shifts that need to occur in order to, whether it's like make a career transition, actually go after roles that are at your level, and like stop almost, you mentioned the undermining that other people have on you, like sometimes that impacts your own confidence and you start aiming lower than, you know, than you should. And so what are some of the mindset shifts that you've seen clients go through in order to step into where they see themselves, essentially?
Yeah, a big thing is definitely recognizing your worth. And sometimes for some people, it does take time because of, as we were talking about, you know, maybe naysayers or people around them who have had a negative impact on how they perceive themselves through the words that they've shared with them or through things that they've told them. And being able to recognize the skills that you have is definitely the first step, because really you can't convince an employer or hiring manager that you're the right person for the job if you can't convince yourself first. You need to be able to know that this is something that you can do and that you can do well. So being able to reflect on your career path, being able to take the time to recognize the skills that you have to offer, and really not only recognizing them, but getting to the point where you're comfortable articulating them to someone else, because that's a big hurdle that I face with a lot of my clients. They know that they've done all these things, but for them, it's just like, I just do my job. You know, I'm just doing what I know, I know how to do it, and I just do my job. But really, a lot of what's involved in the workplace is self-promotion. And a lot of people feel like that's bragging. It makes them feel uncomfortable talking about themselves, what they've achieved. So getting over that hurdle and seeing that really it's not, you're not bragging at the end of the day. You're not saying that you're better than someone else. That's ultimately what bragging is. Really, what you're just saying is that this is what I've done. These are the facts, and I'm presenting the facts of what I'm qualified to do. So I would say that's the biggest mindset shift that is necessary, being able to recognize your worth and your value, and then taking it a step further to actually articulate it.
Mm-hmm. There's that awareness piece too of, I hear a lot that, oh, I'm good at this. This comes naturally to me. It must come naturally to everybody else.
And,
exactly. And that's a tough one. A tough one. But I think really like showing people a mirror almost to say, like, these are your skill set, these are your expertise, and like giving people the space to like talk about it and work through it and like start to identify it in their own lives, like today as well, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we were talking about different cultures earlier. Mm-hmm. It does make a difference, because especially when I'm working with people who are of African descent or who are of Caribbean descent, they often share with me that, you know, they grew up not, you know, you think about the collective. You're not thinking about you, yourself, and what you've done. You always talk about we as a group, this is what we've done. And so when they come to Canada, or when they're now in the workplace and they're expected to now talk about themselves, it's something uncomfortable that they're not used to doing. So there's that shift as well, that sometimes we don't realize that there are cultural differences in how people approach talking about themselves or how they view themselves as well.
Yeah, those 100% exist, and they're very real. I'm glad, like what you said earlier about even in high school, not having career advisors and such who maybe experienced similar things to you or understood your own positionality and like some of those cultural nuances, like it's tough for them to give you tailored advice, you know?
Exactly.
And you're in a position now where like you are the person who you kind of wish you had back then, right?
Exactly.
And so I'm wondering, so there are so many things happening globally right now in the job market, economically, socially, and there have been quite a few layoffs mm-hmm. that have happened, specifically in the technology space, but other industries are also affected. I'm curious, when you have individuals who are in precarious positions, maybe they've lost their job, maybe they're at a point where they're starting to think about their marketability and starting to think about, oh, like maybe there are other industries that could interest me, that other careers that could interest me as well, and mm-hmm. I want to make a transition. How do you typically work with individuals who are in that space? Like if there are people who are listening right now who are considering that but don't know where to start, what would you say to them?
Yeah, every situation I would say is very different. Like it really depends on the person's background, what they've been able to achieve in their career. I've worked with a number of people through, we do outplacement, and basically that's some companies offer career transition services to their employees. So then we would provide the service to them, helping them on their path. But I would say that even recently, I worked with one company that had laid off a number of employees, but every situation is so different in how to deal with it and how to support the people. So basically, what I would say is, if I would look at it very generally, what you really need to do is understand where you are now and understand where you want to be. In terms of where you are now, really understanding the skills that you have to offer, understanding your qualifications, taking the time to write down some of the key achievements and the key successes that you've had in your career, really taking time to reflect on your skills. There are online, you can find free career assessments. A good website for that is ONET, and even the government has tons of resources for that. So taking some of those career planning tools and getting a good sense of what is it that you have to offer. And then now, what is it that you actually want? So getting clear on what your employment target is. Many times I work with people and it's like, you know what, I just want any job at this point. I just want a job. Yes, sometimes you need to take that bridge job to get where you want to be, but never lose sight of what the ultimate goal is, right? So getting clear on what the industry is that you're going to be focusing on, doing your research about the specific employer. So if you create a list of maybe 10 to 15 companies, then you can start doing your research on those companies, who works there, expanding your network, and then on the specific job as well. So getting clear on job titles, because there may be a job that, let's say a financial analyst, but they may call it something different in another company. Maybe it's investment analyst, but it's a very similar job, right? So different jobs use different terminology. So just getting clear on what the position is, what are the kinds of responsibilities that you want to do. And then ultimately what you want to do is bridge the gap. How do you get from the skills that you have to the point that you want to be, and really seeing, is there something that I need to do? A lot of times people just assume I need to go do a certificate or I need to go get another degree, but it may not always be the case. Maybe what you really need to do is start connecting with people who are already in those roles. They may be looking for someone who is not like super seasoned in what they do, because they're, you know, sometimes people come with the same perspective as what they've had for many years. But you, who's coming from a different industry, is going to bring a fresh perspective, and that may be what they're looking for. So what I always tell people is, don't make any assumptions. Really do your research, talk to people in the industry, expand your network, use LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very important. Update your profile and don't make any assumptions, because I've seen situations also where people have gone back to school, invested thousands of dollars, and still they're not able to land a role because they don't know how to articulate the skills that they have. So every situation is unique. You know, that's kind of a high level perspective of what you want to do. But by looking, doing a kind of assessment like that, and kind of seeing how you can bridge the gap, it'll give you a sense of what would be the next steps for you.
Mic drop. That was incredible. And as you were talking, I'm like, informational interviews are such a great way. And then mentioned it and I was like, perfect. And so I'm wondering, when it comes to, like, once you've done the work of actually, like, to even get to informational interviews, you need to have some sort of idea of what you're looking for. So what you mentioned about target companies, like position titles, types of roles that you're looking for, your skills, like, okay, you've done all that work, you've taken the time to reflect. And then what does it actually look like to successfully land informational interviews and for them to actually work? What is an example of a successful result of setting aside time to speak with people who are in roles that you want to be in?
What you really want to focus on is not seeing it as, this is, you know, my opportunity to get a job. I'm just going to reach out to this person because I want a job. You have to think about it on a long-term basis. So really think about it as you are building a relationship, because the person that you may be meeting with may not be the person who has the job, but because they're in the industry, they may know somebody who has the job. So what you really want to do is not make it too much about you, but make it about the other person. Really, they're coming to this call, or they're deciding to give you 15 minutes of their time. What's in it for them? What are you bringing to the table that will help them? Maybe it's a connection. We all have some value to offer, and you being able to recognize that value. And that's why that skills work at the beginning is really important, to know what is the value that you offer. It's going to be really important in you reaching out to someone and saying, this is the reason I'm reaching out. I would love to connect with you. But there needs to be a reason you're connecting with the person. Even sometimes it's as simple as, I watched your YouTube video. I learned a lot about this. I would love the opportunity to meet. I'm exploring an opportunity with so-and-so company. I would love to connect. Just complimenting someone's YouTube video or their blog, that has opened the doors to so many of my clients, because people, you know, they're putting that content out there, and for someone to actually take the time to listen, they appreciate that. You've made an investment. You've already in their work. So they're, you know, they're often willing to talk to you. But at the same time, I'm not saying that all situations are like that. People don't answer also sometimes, but you need to know that that's part of it as well. You know, you may send a LinkedIn message and nobody gets back to you. You may send the email and they don't get back to you, but it doesn't mean that you give up. It means that you keep going and you keep finding that right person, because often it only takes one. And even with that one person, you keep growing from there. So I would say what it looks like in terms of a success of this kind of informational interview, what will make it successful is that you are able to clearly articulate the value that you have to offer, and that the person is able to either give you a connection, either, you know, maybe put you in touch with another person or a resource. So you always have to take the call also thinking, what do I want to get out of the conversation? There's a reason why you want the call. It's not like you just want to build your friendship list. You really want to get something out of the call, knowing what that is, and making it clear also what is the call to action is important.
All great points. I really resonate with that. It's so funny, because when you mentioned like having a plan for these calls, it reminded me of something my mentor said, which is like, when you're reaching out to people, come with very clear asks. Yes. and propose something, because she's like, one thing I really dislike is when I get onto a call and the other person just wants to hear me breathe. Like, they have no idea what the purpose of this call is. There is no intentionality. And I think what you mentioned about highlighting like their work, maybe they've written a book, maybe they have a, you know, whatever it is, a YouTube channel. But really acknowledging, you know, that you've already done your research, that you've already looked at stuff they have online, I think goes a really long way.
Yeah. And even in your messaging, like, I get so many messages of people who are just like, hello. It's like, okay, where is this going?
What do I do with this?
So, you know, you respond and then it's like, okay, I would like you to be my mentor. And I don't know you from anywhere. You're just sending me a random message of, you want me to be your mentor. It doesn't work that way, right? So you who's also looking for that connection with the other person, you need to do some work. It's not just randomly sending a person a message, do you have 15 minutes to talk to me about this? Like, it doesn't work that way.
So I want to get your thoughts on this, because we're now, I feel like, in a world where I've actually been thinking more about employability and like the skills that you have and what you can offer to different organizations. And so I want to get your thoughts on, does job security really exist? Let's start with there. Does job security really exist in 2023?
That's a good question. I think the concept, it has evolved. 30 years ago, where people used to stay in one kind of job throughout their career, then you could say there was such a concept of job security. I think right now the way people approach work has very much evolved. And I think the perspective that we should look at it is more at the career level as opposed to the job level. Because ultimately, in the same way that a person may get laid off or may, you know, have something that happens to the job that they have right now, people are also not staying in roles as long as they used to. There's people who stay in a role for a year and a half, and like a year and a half is even a long time, just a couple of months, and then they move on to the next thing. And the market also right now, there is so much precarious work in terms of contract work or part-time work or just temp work is very common nowadays, where it wasn't something that existed way back when this concept of job security existed. So I think really it's more about you knowing what you want in your career, and whatever, ultimately, as long as you are fulfilling your career goals, whatever they are at that time, then I feel like, yes, you do have job security, because ultimately it's more about, because you evolve as a person, you're growing as a person, your career is supposed to evolve with you. So as long as you have that fulfillment, you have that connection with the work that you're doing, it doesn't matter about the specific job, but it's more about like the career as a whole.
Yeah, almost like if you look at your career as a body of work, almost like that.
Exactly. And there's different pieces to it, obviously, and those are the different jobs. But even there may be freelancing in there. There may be so many other things that make your career. And that ultimately is, I think, how we're looking at it now. Yeah, there's like a term that you use, like seeing your career more as a career lattice as opposed to a ladder. So really, if you're looking at it as the ladder, then yes, you can say there's job security. I'm moving from one level to another. But if it's a lattice, you're going sideways sometimes. Sometimes you're going up. Sometimes you're going back down. So it's just ultimately, if that's what you want at that time, then yeah, then that's ultimately your security in your career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see this translating also to entrepreneurs. And I've just in terms of being able to get work at all stages of your career, and generate income. But there's so many different modalities to work now. And once you get a taste of it and like start to explore, I feel like it really does open your mind to all the different ways that you can make money. And I think that's important as well. And it's the reason kind of like why I wanted to ask you about job security, because like arguably it's never really existed, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's about an individual's ability to be resourceful. And if a situation is not necessarily working for you, I see it also as your ability to have career choice. It's your ability to create other opportunities, right? Lisa, I'm curious to learn about how people can position themselves so that they are in a state where they can make choice about what they want to do next without relying only on one thing. What are your thoughts on that?
I would say it really is about understanding like what you have to offer, and also understanding what the market is looking for at that time. As you kind of progress as a person, as you improve on your skill set, you may have an incredible skill set, but the market isn't looking for that at this point in time. So it's also about, it's, you know, the same basic economics principles, supply and demand, right? So that's what the job market is also about. It's about you understanding what you can supply, but also understanding what the market is looking for. And maybe at one time in your career, you are using a certain skill set because that's what's in demand, but you will need to upskill. You may need to evolve. You may need to grow. You may need to shift to be able to continue to be relevant ultimately with what the demand is at that time. I mean, right now with all that's happening with AI and everybody's freaking out, what's going to happen to my job? Is my job still going to exist? You know, so many questions are being asked, but that it's like we're in a time now that a shift is happening. And with that, it means that we as people will also need to evolve. And we've seen that at different times in history, even, you know, in the 2000s, when it was like 1999 to 2000, they thought all the computers were going to explode. But, it, you know, Y2K didn't happen. Everybody was okay. But people still had to evolve and adapt to that situation. So, we, you know, there are different times in history where as people, we've had to go through that. And it just resonates also with your career. You adapt and you evolve with what the times are asking for.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa, for that response. I have a question about you working with organizations. One of the talks that you host with clients is called Coaching Managers to Have Better Career Conversations to Retain Talent. I'm wondering, what is the biggest challenge and opportunity that you see with talent retention? Because you have the, I think, beautiful opportunity of working with individuals who are looking for opportunities and companies who are looking for talent as well. So what have you seen?
So it's a good question in terms of working with managers and organizations regarding career development. It's really helping them build a culture where career development is included in what they do. There are tons of studies that have shown that career development programming is a way to attract talent and a way to also retain talent. And in working with professionals one-on-one, what they often say is that they're not supported by their organization. They don't feel like they have the tools that are necessary to advance in their careers. And something that I often hear is that they sometimes feel like their managers are actually holding them back, which I can understand from the perspective of the manager. You want to keep the person there so that you don't have to go through the HR process once again to hire someone else. But at the end of the day, there are certain roles that you sometimes grow out of. And so an organization, as part of their planning, should know that and also create succession planning accordingly. It's good to know that maybe this junior role, people usually stay for 2 or 3 years, and you plan accordingly instead of holding someone back because you don't want to go through the process of hiring a new person. So career development is really important for organizations and managers to really not only think of themselves, but also think of their employees and what they're looking for. And by implementing tools like this, it enables you to keep the talent within your organization. Even if they're not staying within that same job, they remain in the organization, and that knowledge and that expertise, the corporate memory, is not lost.
Yeah, that is, that's so true. And I think if people are not getting that where they currently are, unfortunately, they were going to go elsewhere. 100%. Fortunately, unfortunately, on both sides, right? And in that same breath, I'm wondering, because you see so much of the different questions that people are asking themselves as they think about like their priorities, as they think about finding something more aligned, I'm wondering what excites you most about the future of business, the future of people being able to cultivate fulfilling career paths. What are some like tangible things that you believe position We Apply to see the world creatively and also offer really memorable experiences when you're consulting and coaching people as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think a big thing right now is that there's so many, it's like there Coming out of the pandemic, it's really a time where there are so many things that are happening in terms of a shift in the way we see work, the way we work. You know, there's all these future of work kind of discussions happening regarding hybrid work, regarding remote work, artificial intelligence. All that is kind of part of the mix where we're now trying to see where work is going. What is it going to look like? I know there was a study about the 4-day work week that worked extremely well. Not surprising that it's something that worked well. But I think the biggest thing is that the mindset of employers and hiring managers also needs to shift as society is shifting, as people are adjusting, as requirements are changing, mindset needs to shift as well. You know, the good old days have changed. So you can't expect things to be like they were 10 years ago or 15 years ago, because that's the culture that you worked in and that you grew up in the workplace. Times have changed and evolved, right? So I think that's a big thing that I'm seeing that needs to be adjusted. And from my perspective of my company, the coaches that I work with are coaches of color. So we're all people of color. And the people that I tend to collaborate with as well, it's something that I intentionally do. And I think it makes a huge difference in working with organizations, because I've gone and hosted a workshop, for example, and a professional coming to me at the end and being like, oh, when they said we're going to have a personal branding workshop, I wasn't that interested. But then when I saw you and it wasn't who they traditionally think comes to host corporate workshops, they got really excited to know that, oh, this is something different. This is a different perspective. So I think it's important as well to open the door to more voices that align with what the workforce is looking like now. And I think that's one of the areas that my company can definitely make a difference, because our perspectives are different than what has been conventionally deemed as acceptable or the norm in the workplace.
Yeah, I would be excited to see you too.
Yeah.
So I can imagine like what that's meant for people who are working with you directly, indirectly. That's fantastic. And Lisa, I'm wondering, when it comes to like your own development and your own learning, like so much of the work that you do is like pouring into others and really setting people up for success through things that you've used in your own career to level up and just move in the direction that you feel like your skills are aligned, where you know you can grow and feel like the sense of purpose as well. And so I'm wondering, as a CEO, what, when it comes to continuous learning, when it comes to your own development, what are like some non-negotiable items that you have in place that you need in order to up level?
Yeah, for me, a big thing is being intentional about saving the time in my calendar for my own professional development. It's really easy when you're managing a business and doing a bunch of other stuff to just be like always on the go and not taking the time to get up to speed on what's happening in the market right now, or what's happening just generally in the workforce. So I intentionally block off time in my calendar on a weekly basis where I'm either reading or I'm participating in a course or, you know, getting up to speed on what's happening in the news. So I set up Google alerts as well for certain keywords that I want to get information on. So that's like set up so that the time that I have on a weekly basis, I go through those articles. So that's really important for me. I'm part of different associations and organizations that enable me to stay up to date in terms of my certifications and the number of hours that I need to fulfill to be able to remain certified. And I think that's really important and something that people don't necessarily realize, that as practitioners, we also have to stay up to date and relevant to be able to remain certified in the industry. And then also just generally for me, I am a coach that believes in coaching. So I have a coach as well. I have an executive coach who I work with, who helps me advance in my career, advance in my business, and helps me develop as a professional. And I think it's really important that even as a coach, you know, I've worked now maybe with three or four coaches, and you get to a point where, okay, you know, I've worked with this coach and I feel like I got all that I need from this person, and you move on to someone who can give you a little bit more for that next level. And so it's a parallel almost to what we were talking about just before regarding people being in roles and, you know, feeling the need to move on. It's part of who we are as people. We evolve and we grow. And in the same way as a professional, it's important that you find that, you know, you find the resources or you find the people that can help you get to that next level so you're not stagnant. And so I make a conscious effort to develop myself as well as the company in that way.
Solid. Yeah. Is that, would you say that's the best investment that you've made in yourself on a professional level?
Oh, good question. I've actually wasted a lot of money on coaching. So it's two ways. It's one of those things where you kind of have to find the program that works for you, the person that works for you. But I won't say wasted, because every opportunity is a learning opportunity. It, you know, even those times that I hired someone that it didn't end up working or the person wasn't delivering at the level that they said they would, I still learned for myself what I didn't want to do in my coaching practice. Like things like I didn't want people to just be a number that, you know, somebody signed up. I work with people on a personal level. And so experiencing that from another coach brought a different perspective in how I run my business. So even in those bad experiences, I still got something out of it. I still learned something from it. But I would definitely say some of like the best investments that I have made have been in some of the group coaching programs that I joined very early in the business, because at that time, as much as I had a concept of what I wanted to do, I wasn't sure what it would look like. And I had never really seen someone, especially someone in Canada, and also someone who's a Black woman, do what I was thinking of. So I didn't really have any examples. So there was an American group that I joined, and it was a very diverse group, thankfully. And I saw a lot of examples of people who had been successful as career practitioners, who had, you know, been published in all kinds of renowned articles and publications. And so being able to interact with those people, being able to learn from them directly, was definitely a game changer for me.
Yeah. And you mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, which I thought was really like a great insight for people who are looking to enter into new spaces, is like surround yourself with people who are already in those spaces.
And yes,
like,
I agree.
Yeah. You've stepped out, you've created something of your own. What did you learn about yourself during this time? You know, how did this experience really influence your future path to We Apply Canada and then the work that you're doing today as well?
Yeah, a big thing is I realize I can do hard things. It's a statement that I tell myself often, you know, even like sometimes I'm at the gym and I'm like, I can do hard things. And, you know, it motivates me to keep going, because I faced so many obstacles in the last almost three years of the business, but just, you know, keep going on and keep pushing forwards. Being an entrepreneur is very glamorized nowadays, but it's not the easiest thing. So facing that reality, because I thought, you know, I'm going to create some Instagram posts and then I'm going to have tons of clients. That's it. You know, that was the mindset that I was going into this. And then I realized that, oh, okay, there's so much more. I've learned so much in terms of, you know, I can literally open WordPress now and create my website all over again if I had to, you know, like I know email marketing, I know social media management, like everything that is being done in my business, even though I have people I'm working with now, if ever for some reason they were not there, I could pick it up and do it myself. And so for me, that is the biggest thing that I realized. When the opportunity is there to learn, I can learn and I can grow and I can definitely do hard things. As an introvert, it's also being able to interact with different people. Before, I didn't really have a reason to push myself to go to some networking event. It's like, you know, you do it because, especially early days in my career, I did it just because, you know, you're trying to get your foot into somewhere so that you can move up. But then at some point in my career, it's like, why? What was the need? But being an entrepreneur has really pushed me to step out of my comfort zone, to attend networking events all by myself, you know, not relying on anyone else, and just putting myself out there, building my brand on LinkedIn, sharing content, being vulnerable, and just being myself with others has been the biggest thing that I would say has happened since I started the business.
Yeah. And you've really been out there, you know, because I remember when you said that earlier and I'm like, what? The Lisa that I see online is bold and goes for it and is recognized as well, which I think is a testament to the incredible work that you're doing. Right. I'm wondering, as we wrap up the episode, what is the one thing happening in your industry that you are closely monitoring or keeping your eye on?
So for me, really, I mentioned it earlier, it's AI and especially ChatGPT and all the buzz that it's created. There have been a lot of people in the space, in the career development space, who are trying to figure out, what does it mean? Will we need resume writers anymore? Will we even need a coaching? Because, you know, you can easily get what you need from these tools. For me, what I find the most interesting is that it kind of opens the door for people who may not be able to access coaching as a service, because it is definitely a luxury to be able to use these tools to support their career, advance their career. But at the end of the day, though, I think that they are tools that will improve our work, but not replace our work. So from that perspective, you know, we'll see what happens in the next couple of years. I feel like now every week I'm hearing a new tool or a new AI thing coming out. But that's kind of something I'm just keeping my eye on and what will happen there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it's not a new tool, it's like already existing tools that have, like Canva, for example.
Yeah.
I use a really great tool called Notion, and they just popped up on my screen saying, use Notion AI. And I'm like,
oh, interesting.
But I like what you said about it not necessarily replacing, but just augmenting the work that's already mm-hmm. being done. And that piece about accessibility too, and like for little things that people need support on, I think sure, that could probably bridge a gap, but there is a nuance that people offer that
it's
just not at that level. Right. And so I think the experience that you offer, the nuance that you provide, and you're just able to really tailor everything to the individual mm-hmm. that you're working with, there is a personalization there that we can't overlook. So
it's true.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank
you for being a guest on the show. Congratulations on being a featured leader with Invest Ottawa. I absolutely love the work that you're doing. And for the audience, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Power of Why podcast. We will catch you in the next one. Thank you for listening to the Power of Why podcast. You can find the show notes at naomihiley.com/podcast. And if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the Power of Why on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. This episode was brought to you in collaboration with Invest Ottawa and with critical support from BDC Capital's Thrive Venture Fund, title sponsor of International Women's Week 2023. We teamed up to produce this special series in celebration of International Women's Week, featuring 6 inspirational leaders. Visit www.investottawa.ca/IWW to learn more.